You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW, the show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Oh, sorry, I forgot to silence my phone. Ugh, these headlines, they keep popping up on here. One second. All right, LA Times. Oh, New York Times. Associated Press. Oh, Tinder. Okay. Headlines, alerts, voter fraud, voter suppression, new poll results just in. Are you getting distracted by this election stuff where you can barely focus on your job or anything else? At least it's almost over. Well, kinda almost over. The polls do close tomorrow night, yes. But with so many mail-in ballots to count, election results could take days, even weeks. And maybe there'll be a recount in some battleground states. Remember the 2000 election when George W. Bush wasn't declared the victor until more than a month later? That's a long time to be waiting, doom-scrolling, glued to this pinging phone. If you're feeling the same, maybe you could use some advice from an episode of The Daily that aired right here on KCRW. New York Times election reporter Reed Epstein said this to host Michael Barbaro.
If you want to not stress out about the results of the election, buy a plane ticket to someplace without internet access or cell signal on November 2nd and come back a week and a half later.
Or 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
And go to the Galapagos Islands or somewhere and come back in a couple weeks. And by then you'll probably know who won.
Yeah, they're kind of kidding, but some voters are actually taking that advice. They've cast their ballots early, and now they're trying to escape the election aftermath and those pesky phone alerts for the sake of their sanity. KCRW's Catherine Barnes has their story.
You can't get a cell signal at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur. It's a retreat center on the cliffs of the rugged central coast where you can partake in guided meditation, dig in the community garden, and bathe in hot springs. And this election week, the Institute is completely booked up.
It's an amazingly unique experience to have a little bit of a digital detox and really reconnect to self, reconnect to each other where we may have become numb.
Terry Gilby is the CEO of Esalen and was at the Institute during the 2016 election. He says the news did trickle in, but with less intensity.
The following morning, breakfast conversation, people were really thoughtful and curious. And it was really fascinating to watch the open and reflective conversations about the results.
He expects Esalen to stay busy for months after the election, as people yearn for that peace of mind. If politics is wreaking havoc on your mental health, you're not alone. A study conducted on behalf of the American Psychological Association found that 68% of American adults said the 2020 election was a significant source of stress in their life. That's up from 52% in 2016. Back then, couples therapist Stephen Stosny coined the term election stress disorder to describe the outpouring of anxiety he was seeing in his practice. Efrem Perez is a professor of political science and psychology at UCLA. He says one of the strongest emotions activating this year's election is anger.
When you trigger anger collectively among some groups of people, that's like one of the most energizing emotional states. You're already seeing snippets of this, people waiting in rainstorms, waiting just hours to cast their ballot. And it's not lost on me that a lot of those individuals happen to be people of color, and it's because they are mad. they are mad, and anger is the kind of emotion that basically says, you should be mad for X reason, and this is the source of your anger. You know, and then in this political cycle, I don't think it can get any clearer.
But while anger can have a mobilizing effect, Perez says other emotions can be paralyzing.
Now, for the folks that are predisposed to feeling depressed and politics and pandemic are not helping things, withdrawal is the general strategy for a lot of these individuals, right? And so one consequence might be, I just tune out, period.
Perez doesn't think the act of tuning out is altogether a bad idea. In fact, he's an anxious person and has been avoiding news coverage when it becomes too much for him. He takes a day-on, day-off approach.
If I tune in every other day, you know, I'm not going to miss really a whole lot about the tenor of the conversation. And then that leaves me time to do what I think are more constructive things with my time, which would be maybe spending time with my kids, spending time with my wife. So that's how I deal.
That's how 42-year-old Elena Osis feels too. She can't head off to a retreat center, but she's already decided to retreat at home on election day.
So I'll be doing a staycation. So I've already made it known that I'm deleting every social media platform, including email, from my phone. I have a home repair project planned that I kind of specifically made sure that this weekend I could shop and get the supplies for and just do that for the entire day. So no live TV, no internet, just nothing for 36 hours.
She says she learned her lesson in 2016 when the stress of election night led her to take a late night jog, run out of battery on her phone, and then get flooded with anxiety-ridden texts and social media alerts when she plugged it back in. So this year, she'll be staying 6 feet away from her devices and painting her apartment instead.
This year has been a roller coaster for all of our mental health. And I think the election is kind of going to be the cherry on top of the 2020 sundae.
And for those of us who can relate, UCLA political psychology professor Efren Perez has this advice.
Focus on the things that you can control. Be very aggressive about how you scrutinize the information around you and take a long ball approach, right? Months rather than hours.
Elena Osa says on election night, at least, she'll be focused on what she can control, repainting her hallway from green to a muted pale gray and silencing her phone. For KCRW, I'm Catherine Barnes.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Well, onward now with Greater LA on KCRW and one person who is not hiding from the election. In fact, the exact opposite is true. He is leaning way in. Paul Mitchell is vice president of Political Data Incorporated. He's a numbers guy. You've been hearing how early voting has been off the charts with just under 100 million Americans voting as of the day before Election Day on this election eve already. Let me say that again. Nearly 100 million people have already voted in this country, more than 11 million so far right here in the state of California. Now, Paul has been following those early voting numbers like a hawk, and he joins us now to talk about that and more. Hey, Paul Mitchell.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve.
So this is about 50% of eligible California voters we're talking, 11, just north of 11 million votes?
Yeah, it's 50% of the registered voters, just north of 11 million early votes. For reference, in the 2016 general, our prior early vote record was 5.7 million. So we're going to double that by today.
So if 50%, Paul, have already voted, that still leaves 50% of eligible voters who have not yet cast a ballot. Not everyone's going to vote, obviously, but what kind of overall turnout are you anticipating?
Well, overall in raw total voters, we're expecting to set records. Our prior record was just under 15 million. I think most people are expecting 16.5 to 17 million. In terms of a percentage of total voters that cast ballots, it might end up being around 75%, which isn't percentage-wise a record, but our voter file has grown so much. So many more people have registered even in the last month that we're going to set a total vote record for sure.
And by the way, California does have same-day voter registration, correct?
Yeah, so you can do in-person same-day voter registration and cast a ballot, and you can do that all throughout California. It's going to be very heavily used, we expect.
So could we still see long lines tomorrow?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think there's a healthy number of voters who are still planning on voting in person. And remember, throughout this state, we've reduced the number of polling places and vote centers because of the COVID concerns. And also in each vote center, there might be half as many machines. At each vote center, there might be a line with people spaced 6 feet apart. And so it might be pretty quickly a line around the block. And we might have lines in some areas where they might be more unexpected. And by that, I mean more of the suburban, more Republican areas, because as we've seen, Republicans have actually doubled their turnout rate in the in-person voting that has been happening the last few days in LA and Orange County. And so we're expecting a lot of them to be the ones who distrusted the vote by mail, feel like they need to vote in person, and they're probably going to contribute to some pretty long lines on Election Day.
Well, let's unpack that a little bit, because you said they've doubled their numbers because of that distrust. Is that exactly what's going on, that they don't trust the mail service or dropping their ballots off in one of the drop boxes?
Yeah, so the president and others, kind of with his Twitter and his megaphone, really pushed out this message that you can't trust vote by mail or that it's rigged or something. And for Democrats, the message they received was, oh my gosh, I need to mail my ballot immediately. And they did that. In record numbers, Democrats voted early. And Republicans heard the message and thought, well, you know, real Americans vote in person, so I'm going to go vote in person and not going to trust this vote by mail. And so this polarization of when you vote has shown up in the early numbers, where, as an example, in LA County, Republicans were only 15% of the mail and early drop box votes. They've been 30% of the in-person votes. In Orange County, that's even stronger. The Republicans have been 60% of the in-person votes, where they were less than 30% of the by mail.
And here in California, as far as counting the votes go, when we see these early numbers tomorrow night, we're going to see those early votes coming in first or being counted first.
Yeah. And Steve, we've talked in prior elections. I've always cautioned everybody that early votes aren't reflective of the total vote. And in the past, it was always the Republicans were voting early. And so the early results would always advantage Republicans. This polarization and kind of flipping everything, and it's like opposite day for election. We have now an electorate where the early vote is going to be heavily skewed Democratic. And in polling, even the independents that are voting early are the more Democratic-leaning independents. So in California, our early vote will be counted first, skewing very Democratic. The poll vote will be counted and reported later in the night, skewing more Republican. Around the country, we might see some things that are the opposite. In three key states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan, they're going to have to count the in-person vote first, probably giving Trump a huge lift with those voters. And then they cannot legally even start processing that vote by mail that counted earlier. They can't start processing that and counting it until election night into Wednesday and next week.
This sort of goes into the mantra, the President Trump reported mantra, that he wants to declare victory early on election night because he's up in those three states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, whereas that's not necessarily the case. As a matter of fact, over the course of hours, maybe even a week or more, we're going to see the exact opposite happening.
Yeah, just as much as I would caution Democrats at 8:30 at night to not go out and celebrate a victory based on just the early votes that skew Democratic, I would caution anybody in those states to not run out and declare victory based on the early counted votes that will skew more Republican. Really, the election isn't official until they've finished what they call the canvas period, which is the process of going through and tallying all the votes, making sure everybody's vote counts. And we shouldn't have people declaring victory prematurely.
I want to break the numbers down a bit, Paul, by demographics. A little more than 50% of white voters have voted early. Black voters are in the low 40% range, and Latino voters are in the high 30s. It sounds like there's less energy.
Yeah, so LA County numbers, I think, are what you cited, and statewide, those percentages would be a little bit higher. But the fact is that we know, as an example, Latinos are traditionally later voters. And in focus groups, we would talk to Latinos and tell them all the great reasons why vote by mail is safe and the protections and being able to track it. And they would nod their heads and agree. And then you ask them how they're going to vote, and they'd say, oh, I'm going to vote in person. And so we expect to see those Latinos and other people of color to be overrepresented in the late vote. Oddly, at the same time as we expect to see a lot of Republicans overrepresented in the late votes. So there might be some really interesting conversations happening in line at polling centers in LA County tomorrow.
Yeah. And this not only in California, but across the country.
Yeah, these facts hold true around the country. This idea of polarizing the electorate, you know, Democrats vote early, Republicans vote late, you know, it's been so true with even, you know, where you buy a chicken sandwich is polarized in America. And that comes from the top down nationally. It's not just a California effect.
What about young people, Paul? We always talk about young people who are energized. They're going to change the world in the lead up to any election. And then most of the time, or many of the times, there's a lot of disappointment in the young person turnout. Is that happening again this year?
Yeah, so we always talk about this millennial Gen Z segment of the electorate, and we should, because in terms of registration, it is the plurality of the voter file. It is the largest represented generation on the voter file. We are setting records. Over 2 million voters under the age of 34 have voted.
In California.
In California. So and around the country, we've also set records in terms of the numbers of young people voting. But remember, it's always relative. You know, you might have record numbers of young people voting and even higher record numbers of voters 30 to 50 and 50 to 70 voting. So as a share of the electorate, young people are still underperforming their size of the voter file, but it is higher in early numbers than we've ever seen. And I think a lot of folks are expecting those voters to be, you know, pushed to the polls on election day. We will, I guarantee it, have a record number of total young people voting in California. The real question is, you know, will their turnout rate be 62% while the statewide turnout rate is 74%, something like that? If that's the case, then they're not really truly represented as their real strength in the potential voter file.
Paul Mitchell, Vice President of Political Data Incorporated. Paul, as always, thanks. We're going to have you on standby, by the way, because a lot of these numbers mean so much.
And we're getting, believe it or not, hourly updates in LA County this year. So on election day, we will know by the hour how many people are voting and their composition, their demographics, their partisanship, and everything.
Incredible. Paul, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Moving on now with Greater LA on KCRW. I'm Steve Chiotakis, and now to the voting going on in Orange County. There are a lot of what-ifs between now and when all those votes get counted, assuming, of course, that there are no problems with that as well. That's particularly true for historically red, but has been trending blue, Orange County. LA Times columnist Gustavo Arellano is here to talk about what to look out for in this week's KCRW Orange County line. Hey, Gustavo.
Hola, Steve.
Happy election eve, by the way.
I hope you've been resting a lot.
No, not as rested as I'd like to be, but here we are. In early October, this was just about a month ago, you talked about the history of election integrity in the OC. And as we head into tomorrow, I guess one of the key things to watch for will be how the voting itself will go. What are you seeing down there?
You're going to see, I predict it's going to be as smooth as possible, given the person who runs it is Neil Kelly. Now, Neil Kelly has been the registrar of voters now since 2006. Before him, I forget the name of his predecessor, which shows how memorable he was, except the person was known as incompetent. There was always hiccups and whatnot. But with Neil Kelly, really, Orange County has smoothed out almost all the wrinkles possible, to the point where I didn't know this until, you know, right before doing this. But this is, Orange County is the fifth largest jurisdiction for voting in the United States. And so what Kelly has done, you know, he did in the primary, but has set up these voting centers, kind of like in LA County. So set up the voting centers, opened up early voting on Friday. And so you're probably going to see a record turnout.
And these voting centers, just like LA County, went into effect or began, I guess, last primary, right? This was the phase in.
Yeah, so it happened during the primary. And of course, since this is the first time, there are hiccups. Like, for instance, where I voted, I had no idea where I was supposed to go to vote until I finally went online, then turned in my vote or did my vote, and that's that. This time I voted by mail just to, you know, don't have to deal with that headache. But, you know, he saw the criticisms. He, like a good football coach, he switched over his plan at halftime. And now let's see how it comes out on election day.
And by the way, you can vote at any Orange County voting center. It doesn't matter where you live or what neighborhood you're in. You can vote at any of them all across the county. The same is true for L.A. County as well and their voting centers. From what you can tell, Gustavo, what's voter turnout been like?
Voter turnout, just anecdotally, I've seen a lot of people turn in their votes by mail because of coronavirus. You haven't seen the humongous lines that you've seen all across the United States. Like the big center that where the big voting center, it seems, is the Honda Center where the Anaheim Ducks play. And it's people are coming in and people are coming out. So people have had the chance to vote. They haven't done it so far. So I'm thinking a lot of it's going to be vote by mail. And of course, early on, the registrar voter, Neil Kelly, saying that it's exceeding, 2016 vote by mail turnout by like, 100%. But, you know, just like everywhere in the United States, it's exponential how much people are voting by mail this time around.
All right. That's voting. That's how people are casting their ballots this time around. What are you paying attention to, Gustavo, in congressional races in Orange County?
Well, of course, the big story is, can the Democratic Party keep all the congressional seats? We've talked about this in the past a couple of weeks ago. The two main ones is going to be Michelle Steele versus Harley Ruda in around Huntington Beach and Newport Beach, and then in North Orange County and also parts of San Bernardino and L.A. County, Gil Cisneros, the incumbent, versus Young Kim, who he beat last time around. But if the Democratic Party can hold those seats, oh, you're going to see history happen again. And of course, if Orange County is going to vote for Biden over Trump, that's going to be 2 years in a row that Orange County, once a rock-ribbed citadel of Republican politics in the United States, has gone for the Democrats. That will be, I think, the death knell of the Republican Party in Orange County.
Well, here's the thing, though. Washington Wisdom, Gustavo, says the most threatened species is a freshman member of Congress. 2 years ago, the entire delegation, OC delegation, went blue. How have Republicans tried to adapt to that in trying to win some of those seats back?
They really haven't, frankly. I mean, all you've seen is just, oh gosh, way too many commercials, way too many flyers that get sent to my P.O. box. I don't care about these races. Come on. I'm not even in some of these districts, for crying out loud. So they could have had a chance to take them out if it wasn't for coronavirus. And especially in Michelle Steele's case, people who care about coronavirus, which is most of the people in Orange County, have been absolutely horrified by her record on the case. With Young Kim, she really hasn't done much on coronavirus because she's not an elected official. But she would have had a fighting chance if it wasn't for coronavirus. And if it wasn't, of course, for the president, Trump. Young Kim has actually tried to distance herself a little bit from Trump. Michelle Steele hasn't. So they're going to live and die. Their hopes are going to live and die by both coronavirus and Trump and how much Orange County cares about each.
And as far as ads go and phone banking, things like that, have they adapted in the 2 years since the blue wave?
They absolutely have. At the LA Times, I did a column about Randall Avila, who's the executive director of the Orange County Republican Party, a Mexican-American from Monterey Park. And he's been very adamant of trying to do phone banking, trying to do specific digital targets that they didn't do in 2018. And of course, they set up those ballot boxes that aren't really ballot boxes, but are ballot boxes where they could get votes from Republicans or anyone who leaves them there. What they say burned them in 2018 was the Democratic Party just going around and collect ballot harvesting, which is legal by California law. But that term is seen as something derogatory, even though it's absolutely legal. And so that's what the Republican Party has been trying to get as many votes as possible from people, literally going to doorsteps, picking them up, having it signed, because on the back of every ballot, you have to sign off that you're giving someone the authority to turn in your ballot on their behalf. So let's see if they're going to be able to do it.
There's certainly a lot of energy, Gustavo, but is there anything different about this run at the voting centers, as it were?
Just exhaustion. I mean, exhaustion really on the presidential part. Obviously, Trump supporters are going to be more enthusiastic, but I have not seen any enthusiasm for Biden in Orange County at all. Remember, Orange County actually went for Bernie Sanders in the primary. So that said, people just want it over. If anything, you know, most of the time, sadly, I'm at my wife's store in Santana. So what I am seeing is a lot of enthusiasm for local races, a lot of car caravans, you know, like the car caravans for Trump. You're seeing car caravans for like every single a mayoral candidate. You're seeing it in some of these other cities. So at the very least, you're seeing an engaged electorate, which cannot be said most of the times, even during presidential elections in Orange County. So I think that's a positive step for democracy. But let's see what happens after Election Day and how long the counting's going to go.
And here we go. Gustavo Arellano, columnist for the LA Times, with us for KCRW's Orange County Line. Eat your spinach, Gustavo. Thanks.
Gracias.
Spinach or broccoli or, I don't know, something else green that you might have in your possession or anything else you can do to get through this week. Just take some breaths. It's going to be an interesting few days, but we will be here for you. Tomorrow, you finish voting, then the appropriate authorities count those votes. Continued election coverage coming your way tomorrow on this program. A special hour-long Greater LA on Wednesday as the election appears in the rearview mirror. Analysis, any breaking news that might happen over the next couple of days on Greater LA. Hope you stick with us. We are online, of course, kcrw.com/GreaterLA. That's going to do it for us tonight. Jenna Cagle, Catherine Barnes, Angel Carrera, Sonia Geis, Amy Ta, Desmond Taylor, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, Mario Saavedra, Mike Stark, and Christian Bordahl all made the show happen this evening. Thanks for your ears and time. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Go vote and have a great night.